Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
In honour, because the Bible says, give honour where honour is due. Okay? And please welcome Pastor Jason Mannering. He comes to bring the word this morning.
Thank you. God bless you, Mark. Thank you. I'll give you a hug.
Good to see you.
Any day of the week, I'll give you a hug. I know. I've been around. God bless you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. In a few moments' time, we're going to hear from a couple of Victory Weekend participants. But before they come, I just wanted to read out to you just some of the testimonies that have already come through. One participant writes, I entered this day feeling burdened and at a loss, not knowing what is in my future. But I walked out knowing that no matter what happens, I'm not alone and I have nothing to fear. I am strong and courageous. Another one writes, God made me realize I am loved and I am strong because He said so. He showed me the truth about what was hurting me and keeping me from living my life and wholeness in my relationship with Him. I'm going to read out one more. And as I'm doing that, if I could please invite Rebecca Rice and Celeste Ianotta to come. Another participant writes, I came into the meeting relaxed and with an open heart, not quite sure what to expect. But I left with a spring in my step, a smile on my face, and a real sense of peace. Surrendering my life to Jesus Christ and physically shredding my past and present shame, hurt, negative thoughts, words, lies, false beliefs, and disappointments was very powerful. I am so thankful to be able to be a part of an amazing church, which enables me to grow in my Christian walk, allows me to be myself, and yet challenges me at the same time. And so many great reports are coming in, and we're so thankful to God. Truly, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just welcome Rebecca Rice right now as she shares what happens to her. Thanks, Beck.
So the victory day yesterday was centered around the first seven verses in Joshua. But the main theme was Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What this verse highlights is who our true enemy is. Our enemy isn't man or the people of this world. As the verse states, no one will be able to stand against you. So who is the enemy? What victory enabled us to do yesterday was to see who our true enemy was, and that enemy is ourselves. Our self-doubt, our insecurities, and most importantly, our fears. Since the breakdown of my marriage 2 years ago, I have found myself completely and totally overrun with fear. I'm afraid that I don't know who I am anymore. I'm afraid because I don't know what I'm meant to be doing anymore, and I've lost all confidence and self-worth. I fear that I don't fit in, and even the simple task of making small talk after church sends my anxiety into overdrive, and sometimes I just have to leave. I fear what people think of me, and I fear I won't be able to think of what to say, and that people don't even care what I have to say. I fear that I'm not good enough, and I fear that I'm a failure. And me being up here on stage today has less to do with me sharing my experience from yesterday and more to do with me telling fear that it can just go jump. Because I'm so tired of being afraid. I'm tired of fear making my decisions for me. And I'm up here risking embarrassing myself and saying something stupid. And that scares the crap out of me. So being up here in front of everyone, just like yesterday, shredding that little document with my past, just feels so satisfying. Thank you.
Come here. Okay. Give her a big hand. That was fantastic. Thank you so much, Beck. You are strong and you are courageous. God bless you. Thank you, Celeste.
Hello, I'm Celeste and I came to the Victory Weekend, and when I came I was wrestling with God. I had so many questions and so many things going in my life, and I'm an overthinker, and God just answered them. It was so intimate. We spent time with God and had all these questions, and one by one he simplified it all. And the Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. And that's what we did yesterday. We cast our cares upon him, and he answered us and showed us that he cared for us. He cares for me, and he cares for you. And when I was there, Pastor Jason said, now it's between you and God, not man and God, just you and God. And I had this heat burning in my heart. It was burning through the whole time. And Paul came up to me at the end, my husband, and he said, come down the front. There's a real anointing. It's really strong. And I said, oh, Pastor Jason said that God can touch you anywhere. He can touch you in your seat. And my heart's burning. Anyway, Paul went down the front and I thought, oh, no, can't miss it. Is there more? I want more. So I went down the front and I was looking at Paul. I was, you know, not too far away. And I could see Paul's hand. And I just said to God, God, I just want to hold Paul's hand and I want prayer with my husband. And as Jason came along, he said, come and hold your husband's hand. I'm going to pray for you. And I thought, thank you, God, you care. You hear the little things in our heart. You see our desires. You see our concerns. You see our burdens. You see our fears. You know our hopes. You know our dreams. And you hear us and you answer us and you are listening. And every question I had was prayed over me. Every single thing by Pastor Jason, Pastor Trina, but I look to God because I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, you heard. Because man can't hear. They don't know. They didn't know what was happening in my life and what was happening in my heart. Only God knew what was happening in my life and in my heart. And God knows what's happening in your life, in your heart today. But I want to say through the weekend, he cares and he hears, and you can go forward in him just like I'm going forward in him in victory every day, like Tim said this morning.
Oh, you can take it over there. Throughout this series entitled Hope, Life Beyond the Stone, I've been focusing on one of the greatest stories of hope in the Bible. This is one of the greatest stories of hope in the Bible, which is the story of Lazarus found in John chapter 11. The resurrection of Lazarus has always been one of the most fascinating miracles of Jesus Christ. You know, there were three particular issues when Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus. And maybe today you can think of a similar stone and situation in your life like this tomb. Number one, the tomb of Lazarus was sealed with a large stone rolled across it. So clearly, no one was getting in and no one was getting out. And sometimes in life, we ourselves have rolled into place stones within our hearts where no one is getting in and the truth is not getting out. Number two, Lazarus had been dead 4 days and the smell of decay was in the air. And sometimes we, as believers, we can call the dead things of life alive, but there is the smell of decay in the air. Number three, Mary, Martha, who were the sisters of Lazarus, plus the crowd, were more aware of the presence of death than they were of the presence of the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. But Jesus, in spite of the three issues facing him as he arrives at this tomb, Jesus still tells them in John chapter 11, verse 39, to roll the stone aside. And I believe that this very statement from Jesus alone should reveal to us that our God is a team player. And that what God is looking for is participators. He's not looking for spectators. He's looking for others to involve in the miracle, to involve in the breakthrough. And that's exactly what yesterday was all about. It's also interesting to me that the very people that Jesus asks to roll the stone aside are the same people who are not feeling faith-filled, but fear-filled and faithless. Don't you think that that's interesting? And I just want to say to someone here today that sometimes we're waiting to feel so faith-filled and so full of resurrection power before we act. But Jesus is not always looking for how we're feeling. What Jesus is looking for is a cooperative people who will simply say yes to the call of God and His commands. To roll the stone aside would have been very confronting and not an easy faith-filled exercise because these people whom Jesus asked to roll the stone aside had to rise in faith. They had to rise above their own feelings of pain and unbelief. Do you know that? Remember the story, you can read it in John chapter 11, when Jesus turned up, two of Lazarus's sisters came to Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." Keep in mind that in addition to this, there is also a crowd outside of the tomb who are also wailing and they're weeping. And yet Jesus asks these fear-filled, grief-stricken people to roll the stone aside. And again, I just want to say to someone here today, sometimes all that God is looking for is just a simple yes. And I just feel that I saw that demonstrated today in Rebecca Rice and Celeste Iannotta. That's one of the most powerful testimonies I've personally ever heard. Thank you so much. It would have been a very confronting exercise. Imagine, this is why we've got to be people who rise in faith and not in feelings. You don't always have to feel the power of God. You don't always have to feel resurrection power rising up within you. You only merely need to say yes. Yes is a very powerful response to God's call. Just say yes, but I feel afraid. Just say yes, but I feel dismayed, discouraged, despondent, in despair. Just say yes. And of course, removing the stone created two opportunities for God to move. Number one, it created now the access point that Jesus requested to get to the core of the matter, to get to the core of the issue. And number two, it gave Jesus the opportunity to heal what was causing them pain. And what God is asking of us today is to remove the stone that is blocking the way, the entranceway. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold," Jesus said, "I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if anyone will open up the door unto me, I will come in and I will dine and recline with them." And Jesus is simply asking us to roll the stone aside. And after the stone was removed, there was now nothing standing in the way of Lazarus hearing or responding to the call of Jesus Christ. And it's only at this time does Jesus call out saying, "Lazarus, come out." When you read John chapter 11, that's what we see. It's only when the stone, the inhibiting factor, the dividing wall was removed, did Jesus then call out. And this got me thinking, I wonder what might have happened if they hadn't removed the stone. Perhaps Lazarus would have stayed dead and not heard the voice of Christ. Now, in saying that, I just want to say that I believe that Jesus can do anything. Jesus could have turned up to this whole situation, spoken a word, and the stone would have evaporated. Jesus didn't really need to involve the others in the removal of this stone, but he involved them because the lesson that they needed to learn was for them. And it's why Jesus prayed the way that he did. He said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. You always hear me, but I'm only really praying this prayer so that others around me can catch this move of God." Now, this thought got me thinking, because perhaps One of the reasons why you're not hearing what you ought to be hearing and always seeing what you ought to be seeing is because we've allowed or rolled into place certain gravestones which we're also hiding behind and are muffling and distorting God's call. And this is why it's our role to roll away the stone. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." I don't know where your faith is at, where your understanding is at this particular time in your life, but the Bible says that there's a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, who are really just cheering us on, saying, "Come on, run your race. We've run ours. Now run yours while you've got the time." I will never forget when I used to go and watch Anna and Holly in athletics. It never, ever mattered to me whether they came first, second, third, or last. I did not care. And it did not matter how they were running. As long as they were running, as long as they were having a go, I was like, yeah, go, go, go. I was just cheering them on. That is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He's just cheering us on. And the Bible says, "Since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You got to run your lane. Run your lane. If you're taking notes, you need to write that down. You need to run your lane. That's the only lane you need to be concerned with. Don't be competing with others and looking at how they're running. You can be inspired by how they run if you like, but run your lane. And for a moment, let's look at why Jesus didn't remove the stone and why he asked others to roll it aside. The scripture actually doesn't clearly say, but could it be that he had them roll the stone aside because they were the ones who rolled it, who put it there in the first place? And some Christians, I believe, expect God to do it all. Are you the kind of Christian who just expects God to do it all by some kind of manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which completely takes care of everything? And yet, there's no doubt in my mind, as I've already said, that Jesus could have supernaturally removed the stone himself. God does not do for man what man can do for himself. I love that about God. God does not do for man what man can do for himself. Let me give you some examples. God, he asked Noah to build an ark. "Noah, your job is to build the ark. My job," God said, "is to fill it." Man built it. God filled it. You can find that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. In Exodus, God asked Moses to stretch forth his hand over the sea. "Moses, take your hand. I want to use your hand. Take it and stretch it forth over the sea." But it's God who parted the sea. You see, God will not do for man what man can do for himself, but God will also do what man cannot do. And this is what I love about God. And of course, there's so many examples, isn't there? In Mark chapter 16, verse 1, when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, when they bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body, it says in verse 3, as they're going to the tomb, it says in verse 3, they asked each other, "But who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And of course, in verse 4, when they turn up, God had already removed the stone. And I believe that sometimes we can perhaps focus too much on the natural things and we forget about the supernatural. Jesus said, "Roll the stone aside." And as I begin to wrap this series for April up, I want to say to all of us today that life can be full of stones. Do you know that a grave stone, there's not really a grave stone that does not have a name on it, which we can also hide behind? This stone that was rolled into place was a gravestone. And all gravestones have names on them. Some names are called loss, grief, shame. Others are called bitterness, unforgiveness, and pain. Stones can come in all shapes and sizes with all kinds of names. And right now, I want you to begin to imagine the biggest gravestone in your life today. Now, I know that life is full of gravestones that come in all shapes and sizes, but I want you to begin to imagine what might be the biggest gravestone in your life. It could be some of the things that I've mentioned: loss, shame, disappointment, grief, or pain, addiction. I don't know. It could be anything. But I want you to begin to imagine what the biggest stone in your life might look like today, because I want to now give you some perspective. I want to give you some perspective when it comes to the stone that perhaps stands between you and the call of God. Our stewards are going to now begin to hand out to you a stone. And this stone that they're about to give you is for your perspective. And what I want you to do, I want you to hold that stone in your hand, and I want you to begin to imagine and see that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And what may be big to man is not too big for God. I'm going to say that again. As you hold this stone, this is a stone. It was quite interesting. I was looking for some little stones, like from, you know, some little pebbles. I didn't want them to be very big at all. And so I was with Holly Davidson, actually, and we went to I'm not sure if it's called the Pet Barn or the Fish Barn or something like that. And these particular stones that I got were specifically stones for fighting fish. And the young lady said to me, oh, do you have a fighting fish? I said, no, but I have a fighting chance. That just came out at the time. And I said, no, in actual fact, I'm a pastor, and I'm actually purchasing these stones because we're doing a series at the moment, you see, and it's called Hope, Life Beyond the Stone, and we're talking about the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, and this stone is to give us perspective, you see, because sometimes we make things far too big than what they actually are, and so we want to, you know, and I'm going on and on and on. She was rather inspired, so you got to take the opportunities when you can get them, don't you? And so it was cool. I thought, yeah, I'll take this. She's asked me, you know, what are they for? But again, I want to encourage you, take a hold of this stone in your hand. I want you to look at it and imagine and see that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And what might seem big to man is not too big for God. And so as we begin to bring this series to a close today, what can we learn from the story of Lazarus? What have we learned? What can we learn? Number one, clearly there is hope, life beyond the stone. Number two, there might be some decay and some delay, but God is never too late for the miracle. Number three, God specializes in miracles and converting impossibilities to possibilities. Number four, it's our role to roll the stone aside, because God won't do for man what man can do for himself. Number five, we can go from dying outside of Christ to dining in and being seated with Christ, providing we respond to the call of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give someone the opportunity to do that in a few moments. Number six, God will often require us to do something by faith which opposes how we feel. And God is, one of the things that I said yesterday is simply this, that they who are predominantly led by how they feel find it very difficult to walk by faith. Those who focus on how they feel and what they're thinking and their needs and their wishes and their wants find it very difficult to sacrificially live by faith, because they can never rise above their own feeling or their own thought. But the Bible says that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Number seven, we need to roll away our own stone to give Jesus access to the core of our pain and bring life to death. Number eight, always remember, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, both in heaven and on earth. And this is what this story tells us. Because when Mary came up to Jesus and said, "Oh, Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that I am the resurrection and the life?" And Mary said, "Yes, I know that on the last day, my brother will rise again," when it comes to judgment day. And Jesus said, no, "I am both the resurrection and the life after death, but I am also the resurrection and the life today on earth." And that's why we have hope, life beyond the stone. There is hope, even when you don't feel like it. You just have to hang on and give to God what you've got. You don't have to feel faith. You don't have to feel the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. You just need to simply rise above how you feel, rise above how what you fear, and say yes by faith to the call of God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want to invite you to stand right now. And what I'm going to get you to do I'd like to get you to repeat after me a prayer around the series, Hope, Life Beyond the Stone. By the way, I want you to keep that stone. And whenever life gets a bit too much, whenever you feel like you're stuck, I want you to take the stone and remember it's not actually that big. In fact, I would actually encourage you to, you know, if this is what you want to do, even consider, you know, in your own time, putting the stone on the floor and just easily stepping over it. Just step over it, because it's not as big as we think. I'm not here to downplay what anyone is going through, but I do believe that we need a right perspective, because when we have the right perspective, that's when impossibilities can become possibilities. But if we're magnifying, as it were, this stone, if we're in awe of this stone, if we've become more aware of this stone, the size of the stone, and not the size of our awesome God, then we need a perspective adjustment. I want to encourage you, take the stone, put it on the floor, and step over it in faith. Do it as many times as you need to. Maybe once isn't enough. Do it again. Keep walking over it until you get it, until you begin to see it. Because God wants us to see it. He wants us to see Him. Amen. You know, the people around Lazarus's tomb were more aware of the presence of death than they were of the presence of the resurrection and the life. But as we close this series now, I'd like to get you to pray after me a prayer of faith. So I want you to hold that stone, and then I'm going to give someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus today. Would you repeat after me? Father, as I look at the stone that I hold in my hand, I declare that you are bigger than my circumstances. Let this stone remind me that the right perspective makes the impossible possible. For all things are possible with you. Today I rise in faith above my thoughts and my feelings, and I roll my stone aside, unveiling my past and my pain. I now allow you access into my heart, where I am saved, healed, and resurrected in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.